56 regular season games later, that section of the season has come to an end. The Winnipeg Jets victors tonight in their final regular season contest, a 4-2 victory on home ice against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They finish third in the North Division, as we knew entering tonight's game, and they wrap up the regular season with a record of 30 wins, 23 losses, and 3 overtime / shootout defeats. All in all, a successful regular season for the Winnipeg Jets. There were some peaks, there were some valleys, but the Jets are starting the playoffs on a 2-game winning streak. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Alongside Dave Minuk, alongside Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mindell. Gentlemen, we didn't expect much from tonight's contest. It was pretty not the most physical, not the most intense game of the season. No real surprise. But the Jets get what they want. They get a 4-2 victory. They're feeling good about themselves. Kyle Connor is no longer in a goal-scoring slump. Kyle Connor is now on a goal-scoring heater for the Winnipeg Jets after popping 2 tonight, a 4-2 victory. A win is a win, I suppose, nonetheless. Although, of course, there was no real meaning towards tonight's victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Kyle Connor, 4 goals in his last 3 games, right? And we know that he's going to be one of those key players for the Jets, right? And with the uncertain health of Nick Ehlers, even more so, right? So, yeah, I mean, Shifley, Connor, Wheeler, you know, they had a pretty good night. Thought, you know, Dubois, Stastny, Perreault, they had a pretty good night as well. And, you know, right at the end there, Jansen Harkins, nice for him, right, guys, to get, you know, his first goal of the year into an empty net. You thought maybe, you know, it was going to go to Connor because obviously that would have completed the hat trick. You know, but just a game in which I think, you know, the Jets were pretty patient. And, you know, guys, I don't know if, you know, the last 5 or 6 minutes was running time, but it seemed like, you know, that last 5 or 6 minutes went really quickly. And obviously, you know, Drew, you mentioned it. I mean, this game doesn't mean anything. You know, obviously, you know, Dominic Toninato, really nice for him to get an assist on Mason Appleton's goal. So, you know, for him, Dave, you know, this game maybe means a little bit more, right? Because you're right, starting to think about, you know, next season and making a good impression on the coaching staff. And I think, you know, Toninato would be an interesting guy, you know, a guy that either, you know, is a top line player or a top 6 player on the Moose, or maybe, you know, kind of plays that 13th forward role. So nice that Toninato's got into a couple games here. And, you know, Lowry makes the nice play to pick off the Morgan Riley pass, and then Toninato feeds Appleton. So, you know, that line I didn't think, you know, was, you know, terrific tonight, but certainly on that goal, they were really good. And what I like most, boys, about Connor's game is you're starting to see, you know, flashes of the old Kyle Connor. We know he can score goals, but when he's the most effective, he's creating space for himself. And obviously, you know, Wheeler finds, you know, on that goal, I don't know what you guys thought, but, you know, that goal almost, you know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. It was a beauty feed by Wheeler, and we know that Connor's got the shot, but I think he just kind of caught Jack Campbell by surprise. He just wasn't set, right? He didn't have time to really do anything on that one, and good placement by Connor. But, yeah, overall, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you can like about this game, and you obviously would rather go into the playoffs having won a game rather than losing a game. But overall, you know, when I look back on this game, boys, what I'm going to think about is how surprised I was that there were so many regulars in the lineup on both teams, right? Yeah. Like you had like, right, obviously, right, and like obviously no Mitch Marner, right? But Austin Matthews, John Tavares, William Nylander, Morgan Riley. Riley had a really tough night tonight. I think he was on the ice for all 3 goals against, if I'm not mistaken. But that's kind of what stands out to me. Obviously, no Andrew Kopp, no Tucker Poolman for the Jets. We already talked about Ehlers, but both teams, I think we expected, you know, much more AHL kind of, you know, content in this game, but for whatever reason, you know, and also kind of weird, guys, in the sense this was the only game on the NHL regular season schedule, pardon me, for tonight, right? So there's only 1 regular season game tomorrow, which is just weird because the playoffs, of course, start tomorrow. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Jets, you're pretty happy with the way that one ended.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know,
you'll take the victory. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, no, I was just simply going to say that the one thing that you're a little concerned about, and what hopefully we'll get an update from Jets head coach Paul Maurice, is the status of the players, right? You know, Paul Stastny gets that hit in the first period, early in the first period, and he leaves the bench briefly, mm-hmm. comes back, plays the first, plays the second, doesn't come up for the third period. You know, no, I mean, the reality is, and the likelihood is, that's a precautionary thing. You're not going to take a risk when you know you've got some time. You don't, if there is something that's happened there, that's a situation where you want to, you know, obviously avert it, because you're going to need Paul Stastny. And then Pierre-Luc Dubois in the third period gets hit in the face. He goes down the tunnel, and now you've lost him. Now, again, it's probably not a big deal, because you're not really going to take a risk, you know, putting a guy back in a game when the game is essentially meaningless. So to me, it's mm-hmm. likely precautionary. And again, we'll find out when Paul Maurice speaks to the media, probably in the next 10 minutes, I guess, maybe 15 minutes. So those are the biggest things, really, because that's what we kind of talked about, is that you just really don't want to, we expected it, right? We expected almost like an all-star type game where there wasn't going to be a ton of hitting, not really any late hits. You know, you're really trying to avoid any sort of injury to any of your players. So that to me was the key from the game. And for the Jets, you know, you had two guys who potentially could be out. We don't know, obviously. And like I said, we'll see what the update suggests. But that's kind of the overarching thing, was you want to get through this game without any injury. With the Jets now, that's a question mark.
Well, that's probably why you didn't see a hit laid at all in the third period.
There was no hitting.
You mentioned the Justin Hall hit on Stastny. You know, that was a good one. But, you know, after the first period, there wasn't a lot of hitting, right? And, you know, I think you summed it up great there, Dave, right? All-star game, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, hopefully there's nothing wrong there. And we are going to have to wait. We might not get anything from Paul Maurice, right? Like, they might not know. Yeah. And I didn't watching the game live, I didn't see what happened with Dubois. So I don't really know one way or the other if that could be something. But obviously, guys, that would be devastating if either one of those players would be out, because there's always a chance that Ehlers is going to miss game one. We don't think he's going to miss the whole series. But as Paul Maurice said earlier this week, Dave, he is, you know, questionable, right? Like, he wouldn't say if Ehlers is good to go. He wouldn't say if Ehlers wasn't good to go. He's not going to, obviously, you know, show his hand, guys, right?
Yeah, like,
he's
not to be his player. Yeah, that's
right. Right. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, that's why there's always the risk. And it goes back to what I said before, guys. Like, that's why I'm surprised that there were this many star players in the game. Like, whether it's, you know, Austin Matthews, whether it's Morgan Rielly, like, can you imagine if something would have happened to one of those two players? Like, it severely hurts your chances of beating the Habs in the first round.
I have to think it's a function of the fact, at least, you know, for the Jets, that they're obviously off now. They don't play again till Wednesday. The Leafs and the Habs don't play until Thursday. So I have to believe that the reason why you saw name brand players in tonight's lineup, but you're absolutely right. I mean, Austin Matthews might as well not have played. He was invisible for the most part for the Leafs tonight. And I don't blame
even
him.
If
you're Austin Matthews, what's that?
I was going to say, even on the power play, it looked like he didn't really care. It was just, okay, I'll take a shot. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Austin Matthews was the definition of a perimeter player tonight. And I don't blame him for that, because Austin Matthews and you know, really all the players, you know, for the most part in this game, their goal is to get through these 60 minutes without any injury, without even an accidental injury. They don't want to get anywhere near where physical contact might happen, you know, one way or another. So that's just why you saw the intensity level, I think, where it was tonight. That being said, for a game that I had absolutely no hopes for, no expectations for, I was entertained because there was no hitting, because it was back and forth, because it was just a game of skating and nobody was stepping in, nobody was forechecking, really. It was, you know, entertaining in the sort of perverse sense of a game like that.
It was a close game. That's all you want to see, right? Like, if it was a 2-0 or 3-0 Jets lead, that third period really would have been painful. And it turns out that the game was tied going into the third, and the third period was still painful, right? But that's because, you know, after Connor scored there, you kind of got the feeling, okay, you know, Jets won this one, right? Like, it was kind of like, who really wants to win this game here?
What I found sort of funny, Dave, and I don't know if you noticed this, but at the end of the game, after, you know, the Jets basically just held the puck behind their own net for a good, 12 seconds at the end of the game, Connor Hellebuck, and I mean, I know Connor Hellebuck is wired and all goalies are wired a little bit differently. He had a pretty good sized fist pump at the end of this game tonight. Like, it was a game that really mattered, that, you know, it was sort of, that jumped out at me. Just, I don't know if it was a reflex or I don't know if he...
I think Drew's frozen. Someone's frozen. Is he? Can you hear him?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, as long as you and I are here, because I was like,
Mr. Ethernet Cable himself.
Yeah,
he has the best internet in Winnipeg. Well, and look, he's still frozen.
I was gonna say, I've never heard Drew sound so good. Oh, Drew's back. Well, Mr.
I wasn't frozen.
What happened there, Mr.
Frozen? Drew, you were frozen. Let's go to the audience. Audience, who is frozen?
I want to see in that chat.
Hold on. Paul Adette says that Drew is frozen. Next try, Drew. You try and get it over. You can get over me and Ez, maybe. The audience, they know what's going on. See? Wow. John Chan. Can't hear frozen Drew.
Do you want me to make my point again?
Well, Mark
it was Sports, a really good point.
Mark Sports Video. Drew. Sorry, Drew. You're 0 for 3 right now. Up, oh, Jackie M. Frozen. Waddy. Frozen.
Frozen sausage fingers.
Anyways, by the way, while Drew is frozen or maybe not frozen,
I'm not frozen.
You got a 56K modem happening there, Drew.
Yeah, 28.8. Although Ezzy, you with your little camera situation, you're not exactly one to talk either. The only one who's coming in nice and clear is yours truly. But I was just gonna say to people while you're here, like Hollywood in 2001, smash that like button. Let's feel it. It's the last game of the season. We've been rolling. This is, I think, our 30th post game, maybe. I think we've done about half the games or thereabouts. So let's see some smash. Let's see if we can break a record. I think our record's in the 300 range. So maybe we can get that many likes tonight. That would be good. Anyways, Drew, back to the point you were making. It was very interesting.
I really dislike both of you on a very severe level at the moment, but that's okay. What I was saying was that I thought that at the end of the game, it was sort of funny how significant and how, you know, the emphasis that Connor Hellebuck put on that fist bump at the end of the game. And I don't know if it was just a coincidence. I don't know if it was just, you know, getting caught up in the moment, but, you know, the game ends. You know, the opposition doesn't bother to try and get the puck off your stick for the last 15 seconds of the game, which should really tell you sort of the intensity level that the game was played at. But the game ends and he gives a big fist pump like it was a real, you know, significant victory for the Jets, like they clinched something or that they actually won something tonight. I don't know if that jumped out at me as sort of being a little bit bizarre given the context that the game was played in. And now I'm not going to talk for a while because you guys have obviously given me a complex.
No, I mean,
you were a little bit frozen. And the thing is, you know, people that are watching, you have to know, like, it, like in my view here, or what I'm looking at, my video is fine. So I have no idea what everybody else is seeing, but I thought it was on my end. So I'm kind of glad that it was Drew who claims he has the fastest Wi-Fi in the planet. So on the planet. But yeah, Drew, I mean, again, like, we're not going to be talking about this game ever again, right? Like, this is not a game that we will ever reference. We're gonna reference other games during this 2020-21 regular season, like some of those games between the Jets and the Leafs that were in Toronto, right, when the Jets took 5 of 6 points. But this one was it was one of those games that just had to be played. And, you know, I was looking through the first round playoff schedule, kind of prepping for tomorrow's show, and I still think it's hilarious that Edmonton and Vancouver played tomorrow. It's just like, it's just completely bizarre.
Never mind the three Vancouver, Calgary games that are being played. They might as well just play those games in like 10:30 a.m., but they're going to play them in Portugal for some reason. Like, those games are so random and Lisbon. So pointless that it's really... It's like the NHL in a nutshell, somehow deciding that they need to play those three games.
Have you been to Portugal, Drew? I feel like you've been to Portugal.
I've never been to Portugal. It would be on my list next time I get over to... I've been to Europe a few times. Portugal was never there. Oh, Dave, times. You've been to Portugal a few times. You've been to Europe a few times.
I have been to Europe a few times. That's true. But I've never been to Portugal. South of France, Italy, that's kind of where I've been in that area, but yeah.
Monaco, you know, Venice.
I was in Monaco. Tried to go to the casino. It was a little nicer than the Crystal Casino, let's put it that way.
I went to
Club Monaco too at Polo Park.
Yeah.
I would like to go to Portugal, though. I hear lovely things about it.
What's it called? The Algarve? Is it the Algarve? My dad went there, said it was lovely.
Okay.
Are you talking about the Olive Garden, Ezzy? The Olive Garden is a restaurant.
Isn't that what it's called? Algarve or something like that? Starts with an A. I have no idea. Like I said, I've never been to Europe. I've never been outside of River Heights, really. I like to stay in my neighborhood. Corden, Grant, yeah. Taylor.
You do need to. You do like
it. I don't go past Taylor, though. Sterling Lion scares me.
The creature, you're a creature of comfort right there.
Yeah.
In any event, yeah, like exactly right. The only thing really that people are worrying about right now is to hear what Paul Maurice says about Pierre-Luc Dubois and about Paul Stastny. Because if there's any injuries coming out of this game, then obviously this game was a total disaster. But, you know, the fact that Stastny came back after taking that hit early in the first period, and he played basically, you know, and he took a regular shift for the first two periods. I would suggest that for the third period, they probably said, okay, you've done enough tonight for Paul. Go take a rest and take a break, and don't exacerbate what might be a current, it might be a small owie. Don't do anything that might hurt that even more.
Yeah, I mean, in any other game, guys, like if this was, you know, at the midway point of the season or even, you know, game 52 or 53 of 56, maybe you could read more into Stastny not coming back. But yeah, what is the point of him going back there? And it would obviously be, as we talked about, it would be a big blow, because if either of Dubois or Stastny is out, then you're talking about another guy on your second line, right? Because I would have to think that there's a good chance that your second line with Ehlers healthy could be Dubois, Ehlers, and Stastny, right? We saw that earlier in the season. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens here. But yeah, I mean, it don't want to speculate, but it would just not be good news. So we'll see what happens here. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I like Dubois' game. And I like Perreault's game. And obviously, you know, Perreault is not a guy that you're expecting to play a lot in your top six, and especially with, you know, Andrew Kopp out of the lineup, that's the reason, right? But again, you know, you'll look back on this game and you'll think about Dominic Toninato getting an assist. You'll think about, you know, Jansen Harkins getting his first of the year into the empty net, and the Jets just winning a game, you know, for the second time in a row, something that they haven't done in a while, right? So
and scoring, you know, forget about the empty netter, but scoring three goals at 5-on-5. Which is, again, something that, you know, 5-on-5 scoring for this team has been a bugaboo, certainly during the losing streak, certainly during the last month, I would say. And you get three. If you get three at 5-on-5, you're probably feeling okay about yourself, and you're probably feeling okay about your chances. And because I think what they have, did they have the one power play tonight, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
I mean, didn't score, but had decent possession, decent zone time. So all in all, tonight was way more positives than negatives for, and again, I mean, that's the problem with these games that don't mean anything. You know, are they an opportunity to sort of to build on something, or is it an opportunity to fall back on bad habits?
Right.
And I would say, based on the way the Jets played tonight, Dave, that there was more positives here. There were more good things that they could build upon, building upon that game against Vancouver on Tuesday night, you know, just, again, feel better about themselves. And if you want to stop looking at the losing streak, instead, if you want to look at the, you know, the last five games the Jets have played, again, the record is way better. So there's more, they seem to have hit rock bottom, and now there's positive vibes, and they're climbing back up the mountain starting on Wednesday, heading into the playoffs against Edmonton.
Well, and I think Ezzy made a really good point. I think one of the things that
is did key I?
Was, well, you did. Yes, you did, Ezzy. You did. Don't be surprised.
It wasn't your Olive Garden Portugal thing,
no,
though. Don't
it was
worry
definitely
about
not that.
That.
No, but no, I would think that the fact that Kyle Connor is feeling really good about his game right now, because especially, like Ezzy said, without Nikolai Ehlers, and look, you know, we don't know his status. He was shooting. He was in a yellow non-contact today. That's obviously a good sign. We don't know what the Jets' schedule is tomorrow. They don't have anything set. I would guess that they're probably going to take tomorrow off, and they'll skate on Sunday, but we don't actually know yet because it's to be determined on the schedule from them. So, you know, but the one of the things that's interesting is that this Jets team, again, you know, Kyle Connor's not a player who's pretty aggressive in what he says. He's pretty measured. He said, we know we're a great hockey team. We can easily win the series and make a good run here. That's a pretty confident
quote.
Approach. Yeah, Mike McIntyre from the Free Press was repeating that one. So, again, like I said, I think the Jets, it's interesting because Mike actually asked in today's media availability with head coach Paul Maurice this morning. he had asked if they're because of all the pundits not choosing the Jets to be a playoff team, including Drew Mandel, that would they?
When did we make that guy had a beard? I didn't realize we made our picks yet.
Yeah. I'm talking about the season.
The beginning of the year. That guy had a beard. This guy is a completely different guy.
Totally different guy.
Drew 2.0.
But no, I mean, are they using it as a motivation? I mean, I don't know. But I think what it ultimately comes down to is that this team they've obviously got the warts that they have, but you know, they're gonna get Andrew Kopp back, I would imagine. You know, you always have to take what they tell you with a grain of salt, because they don't have any obligation. Like, you know, a lot of times these guys won't explicitly attempt to lie to you, but they're not there to provide you
lies by omission.
Well, you know, they don't need to tip, as Ezzy said, they don't need to tip their hand and give away any information. So with Ehlers, we don't know what his status is. You know, there's an ambiguity. He wasn't going to play. He didn't confirm whether he would play or whether he wouldn't play. Right. And that's fine. I mean, he's entitled to do that, especially because there's a lot of time in between. So, well, like I said, the biggest thing is Paul Stastny, you know, healthy? Is he fine? Obviously he's not 100% because he would have played, but is it of anything of significance? What's the status of Pierre-Luc Dubois? And obviously is Andrew Kopp going to be ready to go in addition to Nikolaj Ehlers? If you do, and again, that's kind of the benefit of this schedule. I mean, when the schedule came out against the Oilers, I mean, weird to see a back-to-back in the playoffs. That's not something we're very, you know,
they're playing. I think it's just a function of they're trying to play catch up to all the other playoff series, which you know already, you know, we'll have a couple games in by the time the Canadian series start. You know,
right.
Washington and Boston start tomorrow. They play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
Every other day at like 6.
So they'll be at game 3 when the Jets and the Oilers are starting game 1. So I mean, you can see how they need to sort of speed up the Canadian division a little bit.
Though. Like, let's get right into it, right? Like, we talked about that. Like, let's not wait until Vancouver. It's a little weird to play.
I agree with that. I thought you meant like, let's get into it. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know why. There's no justification. There really isn't any to hold the North. I mean, again, I personally think it's probably an advantage for the North teams, as long as it doesn't condense your schedule too significantly in the first two rounds. But I actually think there might be a little bit of an advantage to allow your guys to heal up and get ready and be. And again, not an advantage over the other North teams, because of course they're benefiting, and we talked about it in our previous show. Montreal is a team that needs that probably more than anyone. So it's not like the Jets are going to have an advantage over Edmonton, who are going to have an advantage over Montreal. Everybody's in the same boat. But I think those four teams, whichever one obviously will come out of it, will have a little bit of an advantage in the sense that they will have guys who have had an opportunity to heal up a little bit.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back after the commercials, we'll give you the update from Paul Maurice, what he says about Paul Stastny and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Much more to come. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Friday night, we're back with the Illegal Curve post-game show. Nice to see so many of you in the chat. So many new faces, so many familiar faces. While you're here, be sure to smash the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a thumbs up. That's what Dave Minuk was miming over there, or pantomiming, I suppose, would be a more accurate way of doing it. Yeah, you're trapped in a glass case of emotion there, Mr. Minuk. Anyways, as promised, here's the update from Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice on the health and status of Pierre-Luc Dubois and Paul Stastny. The Jets head coach says they'll both miss the entirety of the – no, I'm kidding.
Whoa, I was like, it sounds like that's where Drew's going, but I'm like, I just read the quote. I know what's happening.
No, I don't even think this segment is sponsored by rumors either. So,
Jets head coach Paul Maurice says Paul Stastny and Pierre-Luc Dubois will be in the lineup for the first game of the playoffs. No concerns about potential injuries. Maurice said they would practice with the team before the series begins. So there you have it.
Paul Maurice saying, great post-game show, IC boys. Keep up the great work.
That's real nice.
That's nice of him. That's nice to hear the head coach acknowledge us like that. You know, what do you guys make of the different approaches, the different tacts taken by Kyle Connor and Blake Wheeler? So let's read. You read Kyle Connor's quote. Let me read it again. Here's Jets forward Kyle Connor after the game. We know we're a great hockey team. We can easily win the series against the Oilers and make a good run here. So that's Kyle Connor. And then compare that to what Blake Wheeler said. Blake Wheeler, Jets captain, quote, nobody picked us to be alive right now. So Wheeler's sort of trying to embrace the underdog role, while Kyle Connor saying, put the pressure on our shoulders. We're going to rise to the challenge. Interesting sort of dichotomy between the Jets captain and the Jets' best goal scorer.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's not really fair to Blake Wheeler's point. I mean, I don't want to call the man a liar, but some people in this on the show pick the Jets to be a playoff team. So I don't think that I don't think it's entirely accurate what he's suggesting. I don't know. I mean, look, these guys have to embrace that because they're up against Edmonton. We know that. I think what are the odds right now? 70-30 in Edmonton's favor, roughly.
Who cares? Throw those odds out the window.
Well, I'm not saying that as easy. I mean, look.
No, I know you don't care.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that's just what the people who like to bet. That's what the predictions are. The prognosticators are suggesting right now. But then again, those same prognosticators before the season began didn't pick the Jets to be a playoff team. Now they've actually looked at their body of work and they're establishing this as a 70-30, in favor of the Oilers. But again, I mean, we've said this all along. When you have Connor Hellebuck as your goaltender, and if he's on his game, I mean, that's a difference maker. Mike Smith also, though, I mean, he's been very good for the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, the guy's rejuvenating his career at 39 years of age and – I mean, you don't see that very often, but I mean, he's played very well for Edmonton. So it'll be a very interesting series. But I don't mind the approach of either player. I mean, Blake Wheeler wants to take the us against the world mentality. Kyle Connor says, look, we're a good team. And maybe he's feeling good. 4 goals in his last 3 games. He's feeling confident. So he wants the team to look confident.
Yeah, we don't know what question was asked, and we haven't heard, at least I haven't. I mean, no, Dave, I don't think you've listened to it either, right? Yeah. So we don't know what else was. I know you're just throwing it out there for conversation, right? And I think, typically, Blake Wheeler maybe is a little bit more careful with what he's saying just because he talks to the media more than anybody. And, I don't think Kyle Connor's wrong. I mean, we don't know if he's going to be right or wrong. But, I mean, what else are these guys going to say? I mean, they're all confident. They all believe that they can win. You're not going to hear any of them either publicly or behind the scenes say that they don't think they can win, right? And I'm not saying, Drew, that it's not worth, bringing up because, there's definitely a difference in, those two comments. And I do think that the Jets are going to play that underdog role, right? Like, they know that they've lost 7 of 9 games to the Oilers, right? Like, they don't have a player like Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. They've got some star players of their own. Like, Mark Scheifele's a star. Nikolai Ehlers is a star. So is Blake Wheeler, Kyle Connor, right? But they're not in that same level. Like, I've said this on the Saturday show. I've said it to you guys before. Like, I do think, even though Connor McDavid's only 24, I do think that he's that good that he's going to be talked about one day as one of the best players of all time. It's going to be like him or Gretzky. And I realize that, like, when you say that, it's like sacrilegious, right? To say that, you know, someone is, because everyone agrees that Wayne Gretzky is the greatest player of all time. I don't know if anybody aside from Bobby Orr is even in that conversation, but
Mario Lemieux is a pretty damn good player.
Yeah, Lemieux.
Don't get me wrong. I would give it to Gretzky, but I'm saying
Mario Lemieux is pretty. And I think what hurts Lemieux is all those games missed, right? And all those seasons that he missed. But for sure. So the point being that I think whenever you've lost that many games during the regular season against a team and the way that you've lost those games, what does McDavid have, 24 points this year against the Jets? Something 22, like that. 22
seven,
points,
seven,
right?
7 goals, 5.
So I think that's always going to make you the underdog. So I would probably agree more with Blake Wheeler, you know, and I'm not going to say who I think is going to win the series. I'll leave that for Saturday, but I think the key guys. And
No, save it for tomorrow. Save the predictions for tomorrow.
I'm going to save it for tomorrow. But I think, you know, we haven't really got into Connor Hellebuck's play. That, to me, is the key, and it's the key for most people. And, you know, the save on Alex Galchenyuk stands out, but the save he made on Austin Matthews before that was pretty good as well, right? Mm-hmm. And the Jets, obviously, you know, Kyle Connor scores shortly after that save on Galchenyuk. So, you know, Hellebuck has been really good these last few games. Obviously gets the shutout against Vancouver. The Engvall goal, like, that was five hole. That was a goal that, you know, Hellebuck usually makes. And you know, Mikheyev's goal, that, like, Hellebuck was hung out to dry, right? Like, Stanley and Ben just, they left Mikheyev way too wide open for that rebound goal. So I really am not going to fault Hellebuck on that goal at all. But to me, that's really promising for the Jets that he's playing this well. He hasn't had to steal games, but, you know, he's only allowed, you know, a few goals in his last few appearances.
Look at his last four games. So he gives up what? He gave up 2 goals tonight. He shut out Vancouver on Tuesday. What did he give up against Ottawa? Was it 3? If I recall last Saturday,
it was 3.
I think it was 3. And then the game before that, he shut out Calgary. So you know, those numbers are pretty decent. Obviously, if you're going to get 2 shutouts in your last 4 games, albeit against Calgary and Vancouver, and Lord knows, you know, what those teams are, doesn't matter. You know, the Jets need Connor Hellebuck. Look, if the Jets are going to beat Edmonton, Connor Hellebuck is likely at the end of that series going to be the, you know, everyone's going to say, okay, Connor Hellebuck was the best player in the series. And that's likely going to be the difference in the series. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the X factor for the Jets. He's the guy who can steal around. He's the guy who can, you know, neutralize Connor McDavid, you know, just by trying to keep him off the score sheet as much as possible. So that's why Connor Hellebuck, you know, has to be better than he was last year against Calgary in the bubble. And of course, we know what happened with the Jets forward groups getting riddled with injuries, you know, within the first hour of game one against Calgary. So the Jets have to avoid any of those injuries. And, you know, obviously you can't plan for that, but, you know, let's assume the Jets are healthy and everything else is equal, Connor Hellebuck has to be the best player in the series, I think, for the Jets to win against against the McDavids.
And the thing is, Drew, like, I was just going to say, like, we talk about this, you know, when it comes to, you know, playoff preview time every year, you know, you're going to talk about goaltending. I think it's more so in this series because of what we talked about before, right? Just how many goals the Jets have given up against the Oilers. And also, and this is what I kept telling you guys, you know, when the Jets were kind of at the beginning of that losing streak, was how the lack of goal scoring was concerning me, especially against the Oilers. Like, the Jets haven't struggled to score goals against the Leafs. I mean, like, we saw it again tonight and we saw it throughout the season, but against the Oilers. And I think that was the one thing, like, you know, you've mentioned this too, Drew, like, Dave Tippett, we know, is an excellent hockey coach. Like, Ken Holland didn't bring in Dave Tippett, you know, thinking maybe he was going to be a good hockey coach. He was a good player as well in the NHL, but he was a guy that was so successful in Arizona, getting that team into the playoffs year after year. What were they good at? Defense. They were boring, but they always gave you an honest effort. And that's something that I think the Oilers don't get enough credit for. Like, I realize Adam Larson, I mean, for Taylor Hall, was still one of the worst trades in NHL history, but Larson's actually a very pretty solid, defensive defenseman. And Darnell Nurse, career year. Like I've mentioned, you know, on the Saturday show before, I really like Ethan Bear, third pairing defenseman. Like they've got a decent defensive team. They're obviously, you know, a team that is going to beat you with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl usually putting in, a couple points each a game. But that's something that is going to be key. And that's why I also think it's nice that Mason Appleton, you know, has been putting the puck in the net lately. That streak had to have been really tough for him, right? Because up until, you know, the last 15 to 20 games of the season, he's putting together his career year. And it's still obviously a career year, Dave. But yeah, to go through that type of struggle, especially in the middle of that losing streak, he finally gets out of it. So that was a nice snipe by Appleton tonight. And, you know, we know how big that line is going to be, whether it's Kopp, Lowry, Appleton, or if it's, you know, somebody else, because Kopp gets elevated. That's usually what's happened, right? It's always been, you know, Lowry and Appleton, and then there's kind of been a bit of a rotating cast there. So we'll see what ends up happening. And a lot of that has to do with Ehlers' health, right? Because Kopp could be on that second line if Ehlers isn't ready to go for game one. So I think there's a lot more to be positive about than there was before these two games, right? Like if the Jets had lost these two games or even one of these two games, I think you'd be much more concerned. But they're relatively healthy with the exception of Ehlers. And, you know, Connor has started to score in that. And also Blake Wheeler had one of his best games of the year. And you can say whatever you want, that it was against Vancouver and the Canucks are one of the worst teams in the North Division. But that Connor Scheifele-Wheeler line, especially if Ehlers is injured, is going to have to handle the majority of the offense, right? Like, yeah, you want to get goals from Dubois and Stastny as well, Dave. But, you know, that top line is going to have to match Connor McDavid, which obviously is going to be a very hard thing to do.
And, I was going to say, Ezzy, the key for that really is not matching the top line against Connor McDavid, yes, because, you know, Travis Yost had a really good article on TSN today. It's linked in the morning papers this morning. I'll probably put it in tomorrow's as well because I think it's a good read. And he looked at the numbers, right? And the advanced stats this season, there were maybe four players whose Corsi percentage was okay, was in the positive against Connor McDavid. It was like Appleton, Perreault, Lowry, and Ehlers. So realistically, I mean, those are probably the guys you want up against Connor McDavid because they were able to, you know, not get burned consistently. Now, again, you know, we saw that what the Scheifele line did against them, it didn't look good. And it's not a good fit. Now, you know, if Paul Maurice chooses to not play, you know, Mark Scheifele against Connor McDavid, maybe you get him an easier matchup and get him a more opportunity. You don't want to get into a run and gun series, but I just think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But that's the $1 million question. And I think Drew was about to say, it's probably going to be the focus of the majority of tomorrow's show will be all about the Oilers and the Jets. Is that true, Drew?
That is exactly what I was going to say, Mr. Manuk. And of course, tomorrow's the Legal Curve Hockey Show gets underway in 11 hours from now, 9 a.m. tomorrow. It's now 10 hours and 55 minutes. 9 a.m. tomorrow back here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We're going deep into the Oilers and the Jets. You know, how are the Jets able to match up? Where are their advantages? Where are their disadvantages? Obviously, we know, you know, McDavid is a significant disadvantage. How do they neutralize Connor McDavid? What approach do they take? You know, goaltending, defense, the special teams, the coaching, the whole kit and caboodle, as the old expression goes, delving real deep into the Oilers and the Jets. So you can stay tuned for that 9 a.m. tomorrow with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here. And that's, of course, when we will give our predictions of the Jets and the Oilers series. So hold your powder on that, Mr. Ginsburg. I know you're always eager to give your, predictions.
Yeah, I was going to say, Benjamin, we take all fans, man. Tampa Bay's defending cup champs, and they have a really good chance at repeating. So,
they got to get by a very good Florida Panthers team. We'll also touch on all the other playoff series.
They've never played in the playoffs before, which is incredible.
the first time Battle of Florida. So really, it's a playoff focused Illegal Curve hockey show tomorrow morning. Obviously, the majority of our time on the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers, but we'll also spend some time on the Leafs and the Habs, and then all the other series that are taking place throughout the NHL. The other part of the NHL that we haven't paid attention to for 56 games.
I was going to say, wait a second. There's another part of the NHL. I mean, it really is. Like, I was talking about it with my dad today. Like, I keep going back to the idea of baseball. It's yeah. National League and American League before there was interleague play. And the two teams, you know, you never knew what it would look like when the Jays played the Braves because they never played each other.
I used to love when the Jays played the Expos back in the day when the Expos existed.
But the point is that it wasn't something that you would see, right? It was just, and you just had no idea what to expect. And it's funny because, you know, and as people who obviously are paying attention to tonight's show know that the majority of our Saturday shows are focused on the Jets and the Moose, but we do touch on the rest of the NHL. But I mean, I got to tell you, sometimes I'm just sitting there going, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Like when we have guests, obviously we prep and we have to have some sort of knowledge base, but I'm just saying, like, it's amazing. And when we're talking to what's her name from Minnesota?
Jesse Pierce.
Exactly. Yeah. And I felt like I was talking about a different league. I really did. Like, so it'll be interesting.
And the Wild are in the Central Division with the Jets, right?
I know. It's crazy to think about how often you see these teams, and we see these teams so often, especially Minnesota. And it was such a good rivalry, and obviously you have the playoff history, but it's like they may as well be a completely different league because, I mean, we don't think about them. All we talk about, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Ottawa. So it'll be interesting when that comes about. But, of course, that's not for a while. We've got to focus some more on this North Division.
Yes, and we will do that, of course, tomorrow. But, Dave, you did mention the Manitoba Moose, so that obviously lets us have our post-game Manitoba Moose update. Dave Minute, take it away.
Yes. The Moose
you can take a nap.
The Moose were also playing tonight, everybody, and they had a 12-game point streak going into this one in Ottawa. Ottawa got a lot of guys back from the Senators. Senators sent, I want to say, like 6 or 7 guys down to the farm. So the Moose were going to be in a little bit tougher. And, you know, they were obviously playing without Cole Perfetti, who's off, left today, Friday. So he left today for Newark, New Jersey. And then they're flying with the rest of the NHL guys to Latvia to participate with Team Canada at the World Championship. Great opportunity for the Jets 2020 first rounder. And so the Moose had an opportunity, but, you know, they were going to be in tough against a better Belleville team, better than in the first game they saw them. And they were down. They were down 2-1 in the third period, but Harold Eagle scored a nice goal. Shows that you never stop until you hear the whistle. He kept going. The Belleville netminder had covered it. And led for some inexplicably lifted his hand off the puck, and the play continued. He scored, tied the game, went to overtime, but the game ended quickly. Belleville scored 18 seconds into overtime, so the Moose point streak hits 13. They're 10-0-1-2 right now in their last 13 games. The best ever streak for the Moose was 16 games. I want to say 2017-18 when they were had one of those ridiculous teams with a lot of young Jets prospects, but this has been a fun team because they don't have nearly the depth in terms of prospects. Johnny Kovacevic didn't play again today. He did test out his skating, but he obviously isn't ready to go. So the 2017 third rounder for the Jets is still out with an injury. They play again tomorrow and Sunday. So still opportunity for him to get in before the Moose wrap up their season.
There's Dave Minook's Manitoba Moose update. You knew that he was clamoring to give it, so we figured we'd throw him a bone and let him give an update on his favorite team, the Manitoba Moose, right? Is it safe to say your favorite team?
Our favorite team, too.
Well, first of all, I don't have a favorite team. We gave that up when we became when we started getting into media. But
we're unbiased, Drew. What are you talking about?
Not favorite in terms of cheering, just sort of favorite in terms of covering and sort of the good stories you get to tell at the AHL level about guys sort of, you know, climbing the ladder and you know, not necessarily having the pedigree of NHL players. That's what I mean. Sort of just the interesting stories that you often see at the AHL level that you might not necessarily see at the NHL level.
No, there's no question. I love it because it is an opportunity to tell stories, and so many of these guys, you wouldn't hear about them because there's not a lot of coverage, unfortunately, for the Moose, really, other than us. And, you know, occasionally Taylor Allen from the Free Press will cover a story, or some of the other guys will cover it, but it's more hit or miss with them. Global does a decent job. But yeah, you're right. They don't really get a lot of coverage, and it's newsworthy. I mean, first of all, these are all the Jets' future draft picks, right? These are all the prospects that you want to cover. So, I mean, what an opportunity this year to have as close a view as, I mean, because I was at the Iceplex and I was sitting, you know, 10 feet from the glass, a view of, you know, a whole host of guys who are prospects. So, you know, whether they're guys like Eric Comrie, who have been in the system for a while, or Mikael Burden, obviously the more recent up and coming goalie prospect, all the long list of guys that Ezzie and I and Drew have seen it at drafts now in the fold, you know, the Declan Chisholms, Dylan Sandbergs, Johnny Kovacevic, Ville Heinola, you know, Cole Perfetti, I mean, David Gustafson, Christian Vesalainen, the names go on and on and on. So to me, it's an opportunity to really get to see these guys when they're younger and you develop not a relationship. I mean, I would say I have a relationship with CJCs. You get to know these guys on a different level because, quite frankly, I'm pretty much the only face that's not connected to the team that they see on a regular basis.
Dave, show us how many Moose players you have in your cell phone right now. That's what the people want to see.
No.
Who was the last Moose player that you texted? We want to see that phone.
No.
That's Dave does not disclose
his. I don't name names.
Yeah. He does not disclose how the sausage is made when it comes to the Moose coverage, but that's okay. You're right. The Moose season coming to a close this weekend as well. And of course, a lot of those players are going to join the Winnipeg Jets, be the Black Aces as part of the taxi or sort of separate from the taxi squad. It's really confusing this year with the taxi squad and the Black Aces and sort of what the difference is between one and the other. But you did, you were talking about that earlier today. I saw Dave.
Yeah. And you know, Drew, that's interesting because what they're going to do obviously is that they're essentially what they're doing is they're going to have the taxi squad stay separate. Now the taxi squad, as it's currently constructed, as it's, you know, within that existing framework, you know, with Marco Dano and Eric Comrie and who else is on there as Christian Vesalainen now is on there. Yeah. And I think there's one other player I'm missing, but
Dominic Toninato, right?
No, he's on the roster right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But when the guys are healthy, you're right. But the reality is basically what Paul Maurice said for those who weren't listening to the available today is they're going to keep the taxi squad separate from the Black Aces. And essentially when the Jets main roster and the taxi squad are skating, the Black Aces won't really be, and they'll just be doing their own thing under, you know, Pascal Vincent and his coaching staff, Eric Dubois, Marty Johnston. Those guys will be watching what's going on with the Black Aces, keeping them, you know, ready to go. And then, and again, like I said, you may see a mix. So you may see, like, instead of Marco Dano on the taxi squad, you may see David Gustafson, because right now they obviously want Gustafson playing games with the Moose and finishing it up with the Moose. But, you know, maybe Sandberg, maybe Gustafson, those guys get called up and are sitting on the taxi squad versus being on the Black Aces. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I think I saw today the only real difference is an NHL per diem versus AHL. But that's essentially
it's a big difference.
Well, it is a pretty big difference. That's a good
probably point. Better than the IC per diem. All you can really afford is an O'Henry bar.
Yeah, which you already ate. you stole our per diem.
I use my per diem at the beginning of the season. I buy like 100 O'Henry bars, and it's, you know, it's all gone.
That's okay. As long as you're happy, that's the important part. We want to keep you happy and well fed. You know, we don't want to see you get hangry.
I'm happy. I got my shot, man. I'm happy.
Let me just answer this one from Paul. We're probably going to do an end of season show covering the Moose, maybe on Tuesday. We're in negotiations with the Moose right now, so we'll try and get something going with some of their guys and some of the players. So hopefully Tuesday night. We're in negotiations. I'm working on that right now. So we'll see what happens, but we'll try and do some sort of end of season media availability. The end of season media availability will be on Monday because their season ends on Sunday, but maybe on Tuesday before the Jets get going on Wednesday, we're going to try and do something because it's one of those things, like, again, like to the points that have been made, there's a lot of good stories that need to be told. And it's kind of a shame to kind of let it just peter out and be lost in the ether. So we're going to try and do something. I'll definitely promote that heavily in the next couple of days as we kind of come to figure out all the final details on it.
Is that something we should know about?
No.
Do we have to? Are Ezzie and I involved in that, or is that just a Dave Minook special?
It's like the Barbara
Walters special, but the Dave Minook special instead.
Well, we talked about this. I mean, if you guys want to be a part of it, then you're welcome to. I mean, it's we're like I said, this is uh This isn't a dictatorship. I don't just unilaterally decide things for us.
When's your sit down with Megan and Harry happening? That's what I want to know. You know, the Dave Manuk interview with Megan and Harry, that's coming up next week as well, right?
Something that's else true.
To look forward to.
Well, Dave is North End royalty, so.
That's true. He is he's something all right. All righty, gentlemen. We're going to have Paul Maurice's post-game availability.
I'm working on it right now. Sorry, I was blathering on for too long. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, do you want to
do it now?
Well, Dave, it's better that you blather than Drew, so.
Hey, it's my blathering that keeps this show going.
That's true. He is the host.
Yeah, if it wasn't for my blathering, it would just be a lot of dead air. In any event, that's not important. Again, a reminder, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, a deep dive into the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to talk about the top six forwards, the bottom six forwards, the defense, the goaltending, the coaching staff, the special teams, all of it, top to bottom, real in-depth preview. Yes, I see Joe from Winnipeg is asking, will my internet be fully functional by Tuesday? I think that Ezzy and Dave must have tried to put a virus on my internet, because as you can tell, it's now running back smoothly, as you expect. Look how crystal clear I am. Look at this. Look at this handsomeness. You can even see the 5 o'clock shadow coming in very, very slowly on
my... The Kornikova virus, Drew. The Kornikova virus, sorry.
The Kornikova virus that's going...
Back from 2001.
That was going deep there. Yeah. Did a Y2K finally hit my computer earlier today? Is that what happened?
When I was in high school, I had an Anna Kournikova poster in my room.
Oh my gosh.
I was in love with her.
She was, how old would she have been? She would have been, I think, too young for you to have a poster of her up in your room.
No, she was probably the same age. What year was she born? I'm in 82. I think she's born around 82. I think she was my age. That's why I thought I had a chance.
He's okay. 81.
And guys, you know, every time you put a poster of a girl on your wall, you have a really good chance, right? Because if she ever comes to your room and you're on her wall, you know, or she's on my wall, I should say.
It was creepy because, remember, was it Fedorov and Bure? Were they the ones who were competing for her back in the day?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And they were, she was like 14 or 15 at that time, and they were not 14 or 15.
Late 20s.
Really, it was creepy. Like, I mean, as creepy as you are, Ezzy, at least your age appropriate creepiness, they were inappropriate creepiness.
Was it Fedor or Sergei?
It was Sergei. I don't think it was Fedor.
Fedor was knocked out by Kevin Bieksa at a bar in Winnipeg.
Yeah, at Earl's Main, if I'm not mistaken.
I was
going to
say, wasn't Earl's Main my old haunt?
Yeah, I believe it was back in the day.
Who hasn't read Sean Pronger's book, they should read it.
Yeah. And Sean Pronger, who was on the moose that year as well.
Yep.
And because wasn't Fedorov also wearing like a fur coat? It's a good story.
Yeah. I read that book. I think we had Sean Pronger on the show, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I read that book, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. But I mean, Anna Kournikova.
Thanks, Ezzy. Appreciate that. That's good. Thank you.
I was going to say, is she still married to Enrique Iglesias?
What? Was she ever married to Enrique Iglesias?
Wasn't she?
I don't know.
Isn't that who she was married to or is married to?
Let's check out Wikipedia for the answer.
Can we talk about hockey, for God's sakes?
Well, no,
this is hockey, Dave. She used to date Fedorov and Bure. It's hockey.
Her partner is Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah. Wow. How did you not know that, Drew? You're Mr. Hollywood.
I want to know how you did know that.
What are you talking about? They're famous. They're famous people.
Well, I mean, when was the last time you heard, aside from this show, which says more about this show than it does anything else, when was the last time you heard anything about either Anna Kournikova or Enrique Iglesias?
You know, guys, you know tonight's game was really meaningless. That towards the end of the post-game show, Drew is Wikipediaing who Anna Kournikova is married to.
Hey.
But we have to go back to the poster in my room. I mean, that was a fantastic
poster. Do we really have to go back to it?
Like, nobody, I can assure you, absolutely nobody ever wants to go back into the room you spent time with in high school.
I had a great room.
I can assure you.
A lot of good 100%. Times in my bedroom.
That thing was condemned. Burnt not to
a lot
the
of
ground.
Girls in that bedroom, but a lot of good times.
True, you're the host. Move it along. Let's go.
I can't beat this, Dave. This is great content.
Oh, it's something, all right. I don't know if I would say it's great content, though.
Do you have more Reese up yet? That's the question I have for you.
Holy Don, I'm trying. Let's see. It's processing. I can only work as fast as YouTube there, boys.
Okay, fair enough.
If you don't get that Maurice audio, I'm going to start talking about my bong collection that I used to have, Dave. Let's go.
Hang on. Used to have? What happened to it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, Joe from Winnipeg made a good point, which segues away from this annoying conversation. Six more likes until we hit 300. Let's go, people. Smash that like button.
Yeah.
Do we have Joe from Winnipeg on the payroll? Because if we don't, we need to get him on the payroll.
But speaking of payroll, we got to thank our newest sponsor.
Did you drink an entire bottle of Fireball tonight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First off, Dave, yes, congratulations. We are now sponsored by Seagram's. So welcome aboard, Seagram's. I want to know how much Fireball you drank. I know that Jeff's Leafs game was a little slow, Dave, but it looks like
you had seven or eight shots. I was trying to decide if I should do the LMFAO shots, if I should play that in the background, or the actual Pitbull Fireball song. Not sure which one was going to work. But then I thought there's also other products. There's Seagram's, Seagram's VO, Seagram's 83, Seagram's 88.
And Seagram's, a lot of great products. Very Manitoba.
So we got to thank them. We were happy to have them aboard. They're going to be a big sponsor. And we appreciate the support of them supporting a local product. Dave's fired up. I'm not a drinker though, so we'll see if how much I can handle this Fireball.
I was gonna say, where did you get? I mean, somebody's been hitting that bottle of Fireball. If it hasn't been you, you're not a big drinker at all. So I mean, I don't know what's going on in your household tonight, but sounds like a party.
True. I mean, you gotta support sponsors. This is what we do. Ezzy eats Illegal Curve sandwiches like they're going out of style. I'm drinking Fireball. I mean, this is what I do. Now
bring that back to your house for tomorrow morning, Dave. I'll polish that off.
I give up.
The Maurice audio will be up in about 2 seconds, Drew.
Okay, thank you. I'm almost, you know what? I'm at my wit's end dealing with you guys tonight. It's okay.
Well, hey, Drew, don't worry about it. It's only like a few more hours before you get to deal with us all over again.
I know, but at least tomorrow, the real problem is that tomorrow I don't have to worry about it. Tomorrow there's more than enough content. Tomorrow we got tons to talk about. Got to go deep into the preview of the Jets and the Oilers.
Tonight, guys, are we still live?
Tonight with the Leafs and the Jets, it's certainly a more casual show. I don't even see the angst in the chat room, which is often there when the Jets are struggling, or even when they're sometimes doing well.
I will say though, Drew, you make a good point. It is nice. I mean, again, we don't get up or down for a win or a loss, but it is a different feeling when there is less of that angst, and there's, you know, as former Jets head coach Claude Noel used to say, when there's a little joy in Joyland and people are able to relax and enjoy themselves and people are having fun in the chat, it does make it for a little bit more of an entertaining evening when you're trying to describe the 17th straight loss in a row.
Speaking of Claude Noel, he recently joined Instagram. I gave him a follow. Can you follow me back though?
On that note, here's Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice.
Dubois. They're both going to be fine, we believe. Precautionary to say the least. We just didn't want it to get worse, so nobody on the bench got to stay if they had anything that was the next. So I don't know if they're going to practice 2 days from now, but they'll practice before we play. They'll be in the opening night lineup.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul. A couple of your players out here talking. Mason Appleton says he thinks the Leafs are a team that they're going to run into down the road. Kyle Connor says, you know, this is a series coming up that you could easily win and make a run. At the end of a tough stretch here, where does the team's, you know, uber confidence kind of come out of? Where do they draw from?
They're just excited and happy. Like, it's a long year, and we had that. Again, I don't think that our team ever got on a very high roll this year. And even in that stretch, I don't think we internalized the idea that we were that far off it. So they're excited, right? We know the real challenge starting on the road, the team that we're going to face. But looking forward to it. Like, there's a kind of a sense of excitement in that room. And you win a game, you feel good. And we get to play fun games now.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. Blake has said it a couple times in his post-game interviews, and that nobody had you guys picked here. You've mentioned this before. Even Blake mentioned about the discrepancies in the other divisions. I think that was assuming that, you know, the Canadian division might not be seen as strong as the other ones. This is all a roundabout way of saying, is this something that this club is rallying around, and how powerful can the us against the world mentality be in pro sports?
Yeah, I think it's all about perspective, right? Like, there's a lot of good things that happen. So what happened to a bunch of teams in the North Division is they got going and then they got exalted to a place maybe that they shouldn't have been, and then didn't have it going, and they got dropped down to a place they didn't deserve to be. And then and that breeds that. So if you can kind of come out of that together, you've got a little bit of that, right? If anybody that's tasted adversity in the North Division, it's not private, right? It's public. It's in the paper, and that kind of brings your team closer together. So we felt we had a really close-knit team early on. We talked about that a lot. And then we went through that stretch, and I really feel coming out of that Montreal game, you saw it in an equal time. So it's easy to say everybody loves each other when you're rolling, but we went through a real tough time here. And I think came out closer and with a more excitement about our game and the idea that we could not just get back to where we were, but we could be a whole lot better team here. So we're going into these, you know, wide open eyes, excited about what's going to happen, and kind of looking at figuring out how good we really can be.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
All tonight's game, was it kind of the no hitter you anticipated?
Yeah, I thought so. It was a skater, right? There was both teams reasonably respectful of what was going to happen. When you look at the minutes, I think Austin Matthews played about 4 minutes in the first period. You're not going to see that again. So the both teams have key guys in the top nine out of the lineup, got up and down the ice, but we feel that there are a whole bunch of things we were working on, and we saw it maybe more in our offensive game, kind of getting some pucks to the net and getting some scrums that didn't go for us, and then kind of scoring on our breaks, but which wasn't happening for us a week ago, right? We had a bunch of those same plays that didn't go in, but we had almost, if you go back early on in that stretch where we started, we had nothing else. So those plays didn't go in for us, and there was no other offense, but you know, all the lines had some scrums around the net, some pucks that we almost got to, that we almost scored on. We hadn't had that in the past. So that's the positive part of tonight's game.
Just a couple more for Coach. We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. I'm sure to some extent you would have found positives heading into the playoffs, regardless of end of season results, if you liked your process. I guess the question is, as a motivator of people, how important was it to get a couple of results and some offense the way that you like it to be able to point to now?
Well, important in that, and we'll go back to even some losses that may have preceded with the shutout and then the other. So preceded some better play, that they understood it. So if you go out and you're playing the exact same game and you just happen to hit a few of those chances, you get, the other team doesn't, and you don't really gain much. But I think the value, I think this team can sit on the bench and see what's happening and understand it. And so I think the positives are that there was some intentional play that worked well for us in our last couple of games, and they saw it.
And final question to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Paul, you said when you put them back together, sometimes keeping a line apart that's familiar can bring a renewed energy. Do you believe that's what's happened, or what are you seeing from that top line since coming back together?
Right on. So an excitement there between the three of them, because in tonight's, the last two, but in, you know what, Ken, it's almost in practice as well, right? You see it there sometimes first. They're playing the game the right way, and they're also then playing really fast. And Kyle's feeling it, right? He's back. And so each one of them as an individual is starting to peak, it looks like. And then when you put three of them together and understand each other, you start to get that synergy that would make them greater than individuals. So they're pretty good right now at both ends of the ring, and they're starting to peak. And I understand what the game was tonight. I'm not overvaluing the goals they scored in this game. But they'll push harder too. That chemistry is there. It's always kind of been there, but they've got it all moving in the right direction now.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Yes.
There you go, big Jets head coach Paul Maurice departing the podium after speaking to the media for the final time this regular season. The Winnipeg Jets victors tonight in their final regular season game against the Edmonton Oilers. A 4-2 victory for the Jets. Pardon me, they played the Leafs, not the Oilers. 4-2 victory for the Jets over the Leafs. They head into the playoffs now to battle the Edmonton Oilers starting Wednesday night. That'll do it for us tonight. We remind everybody, Kenny and Rennie are going to keep the party going with post-game conversation. Reminder, tomorrow, 9 a.m., we're going to be back here for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, an in-depth, comprehensive preview of the Winnipeg Jets versus the Edmonton Oilers, the first round North Division playoff series matchup between the teams from Winnipeg and Edmonton. We look forward to that. We look forward to so many of you joining us here back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. A reminder, and I sort of want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, our good new sponsor, our good friends from Seagram's, Dave chugging a bottle of Fireball as a result tonight. Of course, our previous sponsors, our long-term sponsors who've been loyal and great to us for so many years, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and our friends from Boston Pizza as well. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Dave Minuk, who's got a sort of a, he's got a smirk on his face all evening tonight. I don't know if
for the record, just I want to clarify
because all of that Fireball that
haven't had one drink. I'm just full of life, guys. I'm just full of life.
Dave is full of piss and vinegar, and the joie de vivre is permeating out of him tonight, which is great to see. Ezra Ginsberg is down there in the bottom, and he's looking as suave and debonair as always.
Kournikova poster is what I'm doing.
God, nobody wants to burn that thing if you do have it. Just burn it to the ground. Burn anything that's touched it. Ugh. God. And of course, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we say good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve Postgame Show.